Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
All Jesus' disciples except John were martyred. It was the fate of many early Christians and continues today as the message of the gospel continues to go forth. Day of the Christian Martyr is a special time to remember those who have given their lives for the advancement of the gospel. This year it is June 29th. I believe it's June 29th every year. My guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's a spokesman for Voice of the Martyrs. Thanks, Todd, for being with us.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's just within the past few years I remember hearing or reading about Day of the Christian Martyr. Is this a new concept, or give us some history behind that?
You know, it is a little bit new. I think it's probably about the last 5 years that we have really tried to get people to say, hey, we need a day where we honor the memory of those who gave their lives for Christ. June 29th is significant. According to church history, that's the day the Apostle Paul was beheaded outside the city of Rome. And so that is certainly a significant day in the church calendar. And what better day to look back on those who gave their lives for Christ. And, you know, certainly we want to honor their memories. We want to honor their faithfulness. But it's not just about sort of thinking how great they were at following Jesus. The hope is that we carry forth a challenge to ourselves. Hey, these brothers and sisters laid down their lives for the cause of Christ. What would I sacrifice to see my neighbors won into the kingdom? What would I give up to see Christ advance in my town? And that's really what we hope people take out of Day of the Christian Martyr, is that sense of inspiration, that sense of, hey, whatever sacrifice I might make, it is worth it for the sake of the gospel.
And we see testimony of that across the country, across not necessarily the United States, but across the world, as we see those in hostile or restricted nations, they give their all when they become followers of Christ. You know, many times they're to begin with, ostracized by their parents or by their family. They're thrown out of their homes. They're thrown out of their properties, confiscated. And many times they lose their lives because they will not recant their faith in Christ. So how does Voice of the Martyrs, I know you have an interactive map, which is great. I went on and even found out Mexico is a hostile area.
Yeah, I
was surprised that Mexico was considered a hostile nation. So how do you differentiate between the so-called, you know, the bad guys, so to speak, like Mexico, and those who are even more restricted, like say China or North Korea? How do you make the differentiation?
The way we describe the countries where Christians are persecuted, we talk about them as either being a restricted nation or a hostile area, and the big difference is who is the persecutor. So in a restricted nation, the government is the persecutor. It is, the Chinese Communist Party. It is the regime in North Korea. It's the regime in Iran. They are the persecutor. If you are a Christian, you potentially face charges. You get arrested by the police. You get charged with a crime. You get taken into a court. You get sentenced to prison. It's the government that's doing that persecution. In a hostile area, it's a little different. The government might at least say we have religious freedom, but within that country, somebody is persecuting Christians. And it could be, honestly, it could be their own family members who are the first line of persecution. It could be a terrorist group like Boko Haram in northern Nigeria. It could be some other ideology or some other group that is persecuting Christians. That's the case in Mexico. There is a strong line of sort of what we call Christo-paganism, that is combining different practices, you know, animal sacrifices and other things. But it is very offended if someone comes to be a true follower of Jesus Christ and starts telling others, hey, you should follow Jesus too. They will face persecution in many areas, even like you say, even in Mexico.
Yeah. I think it's mostly southern Mexico, but yeah, that did surprise me that Mexico is considered a hostile nation for the gospel. And so, you know, this June 29th is going to be this year's, again, I think it's June 29th. It is every year, right? Day of the Christian Martyrs.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so the 29th is going to be the Day of the Christian Martyr. And how can churches participate? I mean, we've gone over why it's important, and we can look at history as far as the early church members who, I don't know if they actually had members, but early Christians who gave their lives for Christ, and even that's happening today. So it's kind of a day to remember not only history but present day martyrs who are willing to give their life for Christ, and also to ask ourselves in the process, what are we willing to give in order to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
Yeah, that's a good description of what we hope happens. And so every year, the Voice of the Martyrs prepares resources for churches, for Bible study groups, even for parents, for families to use. Each year we do a video. It's a short video this year. It's 3 minutes long. It's perfect to show in a worship service or in a Sunday school class, in a Bible study group. One of the interesting things this year, so each year we do this video, we tell the story of a martyr. And in the past, it's been some that maybe you've heard of before. Maybe it's been somebody you never heard of. This year, we actually tell the story of two martyrs. And the very interesting thing is both of these men were killed in India, modern-day India, but they were killed 2,000 years apart. Mm-hmm. So one of those is the Apostle Thomas, who we all know of as Doubting Thomas. Right. I think that's a little bit unfair, honestly, that he kind of carries that moniker through history.
We zero in on that one phase of his life, and we just continued zeroing in on that one time period and forget the rest, which is unfortunate for him and for us.
It is unfortunate because once his doubts were answered, he became Missionary Thomas and actually traveled from Jerusalem all the way to southern India. And this is before 747. That was a very long journey to get to southern India, sharing the gospel all along the way. He was speared to death in southern India by Hindu priests. And so 2,000 years ago, you have Thomas being killed in India for sharing the gospel. And then a modern day martyr, 2020, a man named Kande Mutu was stabbed to death after being threatened repeatedly. He came to faith out of a Hindu background. He began to share his faith. And in fact, his first converts were his own brothers who came to faith in Christ after hearing Kande's testimony, after seeing his example. The radical Hindus in the village said, listen, you need to shut up. You need to stop sharing. You need to stop talking about this. Kande Mutu said, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want to tell people about that. Because of that, he was murdered. He was stabbed to death, left behind a wife and two small children. And so we have this video that shares both of those stories. Like, hey, this is what it looked like to follow Jesus 2,000 years ago. You had to be ready to lay down your life. And guess what? It still looks like that today. In a place like India, you still have to be ready to lay down your life in order to follow Jesus. So hopefully we walk away from that inspired. Like, hey, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to sacrifice if that's what Christ calls me to do.
Yeah, for sure, because I know that they become very restrictive. India, because of the Hindu religion, they become very restrictive when it comes to any other religion except the Hindu religion. And as I looked at that interactive map, I was really shocked that almost the entire world is either hostile or restricted to the gospel when you look at that map and the coloration on that map. And there are very few countries that have true religious freedom. I mean, some, I think even Pakistan says they have religious freedom, but that's not necessarily the case when it comes to the gospel. And so India is a perfect example. And that's neat that you guys have taken Thomas and the fact that he got over his doubts and he was willing to travel into the unknown world, basically, because I guess there were the trade routes he followed to get to India. He overcame his doubts and furthered the gospel by going to India and then giving his life for that. And then this modern-day martyr, Kande, that was willing to sacrifice his life for the gospel. How can churches get involved? You know, I don't know that I know that you guys have had this, you said about 5 years or something like that, but I think the word's just now getting out that there's a specific day set aside each year to focus on Christian martyrs of the past and of present day, and the question the Christians need to ask, what are they willing to give to further the gospel? So how can churches participate this year, and how can they help get the word out about this coming upcoming day?
So we have resources available for you. I mentioned the 3-minute video. There is also a slide presentation. If you want to have a kind of a guided prayer time, there's a church bulletin insert you can download and print out and put in your church bulletin. There is also a conversation guide for talking about persecution with children. So maybe you're a parent, maybe you're a Sunday school class teacher in the children's program at your church. How do you talk to a fourth grader about martyrdom without freaking them out, but also saying, yeah, this is part of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ? There is a guide to help you do that. All of these resources are digital, and all of them are free. There is no charge for any of them. You can download them. Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. Persecution.com/martyr, the word martyr, will take you right to the resources for the Day of the Christian Martyr.
Yeah, I just did that last night. All you have to do is just sign up, but there's no charge for any of that stuff, with the, you know, your name and address and such as that. But there's no charge for any of that. Just like you said, it's all downloadable. And I did that last night. So I'm going to be approaching our pastor about the Day of the Christian Martyr. Now, you know, this is one day of the year. We have over 360 other days of the year. How can the church help the persecuted church? I know we can support Voice of the Martyrs, which you guys do a fantastic job. Before we get into how the church can help, what are some of the other ways that you guys help the persecuted church?
So the Voice of the Martyrs ministry in more than 70 countries around the world where Christians are persecuted falls into kind of three big buckets. So the first is what we call persecution response. And that's, you know, if somebody's house gets burned down because they're a Christian, they need a place to stay tonight. They need a roof over their head. They need a bed to sleep in. And so that's persecution response. It is providing directly for those needs that are created by persecution. Mm-hmm. The second area is Bibles. And that, again, just what it sounds like, delivering God's word into the hands of Christians who live in places where they don't have access to God's word naturally. They don't have a Walmart to go down to and buy a copy of the Bible. They likely would not have access to God's word without that help from outsiders. Mm-hmm. And so persecution response, Bibles, and then the third area is what we call frontline ministry. And I sometimes kind of half jokingly call these pre-persecuted Christians. They are doing evangelism. They're doing church planting in a place where Christians are routinely persecuted. Maybe they've had persecution in their own story, maybe not yet, but they likely will at some point. And so Voice of the Martyrs is able to help them with tools and training and encouragement to make their ministry as effective as possible, and also to prepare them for persecution, if that should come, if that is God's will for them. And then the fourth area of our ministry is just what we're doing right now, telling the stories of these brothers and sisters to Christians living in free nations so that our faith can be encouraged by their faithfulness and that so we can be connected to them. You know, the Bible says when one part of the body suffers, we're all supposed to feel that pain. But if we're disconnected, mm-hmm. we can't do that. We can't feel that pain. And so that's a part of the Voice of the Martyrs ministry as well, is just linking up the different parts of the body of Christ so that we can be in fellowship with brothers and sisters, even those who suffer for the name of Christ.
Yeah. And I get your magazine every month, and that definitely helps get the word out about persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. As soon as I get it, I sit down to read it, because there's some very heartbreaking stories, but stories of great faith also from those who are left behind. You guys also do training, don't you, as far as teaching women trades like sewing and such? Don't you do things like that?
That is part of persecution response.
Okay,
especially in the case of widows, if they don't have a way of providing for themselves, we will at times, you know, help them with some kind of business training,
right?
Maybe sewing machines, maybe animal husbandry. I know in some cases we might provide a goat or a cow that helps them to then be able to support their family. And so it is not a matter of, hey, let's just show up and let's give them some money. We really do want to equip them and help them to rebuild their life and replace what was lost.
That's good. That's something about the, you can give a man a fish or you can teach him how to fish or something like that, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so that they can carry on. That's fantastic. So June 29th, so the churches need to go on your website, persecution.com/martyr. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
They get all the resources. They can download all the resources, and they can also contact you guys through that website. Just click on the contact button, and you have lots of other resources. I mean, I just ordered some books for Christmas for our grandkids when I was online last night. So there's lots of resources to help kids read stories about martyrs in the past and to help educate kids about, not just kids, but adults about the fact that there's still persecution of Christians going on. It's something that we here in America tend to forget. We think if we get shouted at because we're a Christian and you and voice our Christian beliefs on a certain issue, we think getting shouted at is being persecuted. I'm sorry. That's not like being stoned or losing your home or anything like that or losing your life. That's what we go through in this country is not really persecution compared to the rest of the world and Christian brothers and sisters are suffering. So that's my take.
We have a lot of freedom that we need to take advantage of while we still have it, frankly. Yeah. We have that freedom to talk to our neighbors, to share the love of the Lord. And most of us, the danger for most of us here in America is an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
But like the conversation could turn awkward. The chance of your neighbor beating you up or shooting you is pretty small here in the United States. And like I say, we have that freedom. We need to take advantage of it and be talking to our neighbors about Jesus.
Absolutely, we do need to. So persecution.com is the overall website, and persecution.com/martyr for specific resources for the Day of the Christian Martyr, which will take place on June 29th. Thanks so much, Todd, for being with us. I appreciate it. Appreciate all your work and the ministry work there down in Oklahoma that reaches the entire world. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.